thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But what I want to do now, I want to show you what our 2024 motto is, our church motto. Leadership team took some time in praying and discussing this together, and it's based on 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. You'll know the verse well, I'm sure. This is what the Lord says to you: do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And we're going to put that on social media, and I'm going to, hopefully Anne will put that in the newsletter, and that'll appear every week that you get your newsletter as well. We know that 2023, that year that has gone into eternity, has been a tough year for many people. There have been many, many battles that have been waged, and many have been won and some have been lost. And life's a battle, and we know that coming into 2024 that there are going to be many, many more battles. This is something that we believe that the Lord would have us to declare confidently, that the battle is the Lord's. Of course, this is what the Lord told King Jehoshaphat through one of the prophets when a mighty army had arrayed itself against him. God will always, always, always fight for his people. And so it's not our fight, because the Bible says so. The battle belongs to the Lord. We find this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. Of course, the occasion then was that David had come to the battlefield to bring some food and supplies to his brothers, and he said that he would take on Goliath, and everyone laughed at him, and he tried on the king's armor, and of course he was far too small and young to carry that armor, and he took the armor off and he said he would go in the name and the strength of the Lord. And this is what David told Goliath just literally a few moments before he took the head off him: the battle belongs to the Lord. I wanted a new daily devotional for the new year, so I went to the local Faith Mission bookshop and I got one by Timothy Keller. And funny enough, this morning, just as I was reading in preparation for our service this morning, he had this to say, which is very fitting. David's Psalms often speak of enemies. Ancient kings were always in danger of people trying to kill them. We may have fewer enemies intent on physical violence, but there are many forces in the world that can ruin us economically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But we must do what David did. He asked God to spread his protection over him, and he is sure that God will do this. That was my daily devotional for this morning. So at the start of 2024, let's declare that it's not our fight. Let's declare that the battle belongs to the Lord, that it is the Lord's, it's his fight, and he knows what he is doing. Another verse that reinforces this is found in Exodus 14, verse 14. The Lord himself will fight for you, just stay calm. I don't know, it's strange advice when there's a battle going on. This, of course, was the occasion of Moses speaking to the children of Israel. They were hemmed in. The Red Sea was on one side. The Egyptians ensuing them were on the other side. And Moses says, stay calm. I don't know, maybe that is good leadership. But he got it from the Lord. The Lord himself will fight for you. So that's God's promise. That's God's part, isn't it? He declares and he promises, and he will fulfill his word that he will fight for us. And so our part is to stay calm. Turn with me, please, for first of our readings this morning to Psalm 3. It's very fitting that we just take up some of Timothy Keller's advice this morning, Psalm 3. And verse 1 to 8, we're just going to read that and see what the psalmist David had to say. The subtitle is "The Lord Helps His Troubled People." This was a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how have they increased? who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. It's a good verse for anyone who finds it hard to sleep at night. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. So before we look this morning at the different types of battles that there are and the different kinds of attacks that can happen, we must approach the subject based on what the Bible says. Not based on our feelings, not based on our past experiences, not based on what other people may say or whisper in our ear. It's absolutely crucial, because if we don't, then we're standing on shaky ground and we've lost the battle before the fight has even begun. And so we must know what Scripture says. We've already quoted it 3 or 4 times already. And then what we need to do is we need to stand on that Scripture, stand on what Scripture says. And that's why we've chosen the motto for the year, because we believe that going into 2024, that there will continue to be many, many battles, both personally and as a church, because churches have battles too. And we need to stand on what Scripture says, that the battle is the Lord's. So we need to start 2024 strong. We need to start on the right foot. And we need to remind ourselves and believe who is in control. We're not in control. I certainly don't feel in control at times. I'm sure you don't always feel in control of your life or your situation. So we're not in control. And can I also say that the banks are not in control? They may think they are. Your mortgage lender's not in control. Your employer is not in control. Nor is the devil in control. God is in control. And we've got to believe that. That is our foundation. We've got to stand firm on that belief, that God is in control and that all the battles belong to him. And so sometimes we need that spiritual nudge, don't we? We need that little nudge spiritually in the right direction. And God, I believe, would want to remind us this morning at the start of a new year, kind of a new era, a fresh beginnings, that whatever battle you may face, be that today, be that tomorrow, be that in the future, whenever that may be, that it is not your fight. It's not your battle, and it's not my battle. It's not the church leadership's battle. It's not the church's battle. It's definitely not the enemy's battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. However, the battle can take on different guises. If you're making notes this morning, I believe there's 3 simple things. It may not be an exhaustive list, probably won't be, but I believe that the battle can be external. And I believe that the battle can be internal. I also believe that the battle can be fraternal. But there's one thing for sure, it's not going to be eternal. One day more, Mervyn, and one day less. I take it that was yourself that we're referring to, Mervyn. Excellent. It's not going to be eternal, because one day mortality will give way. It will be subject to immortality, and our tribulations and our trials, let's call them our battles, will cease for good. However, in the meantime, while we live in this earthly tent, there's not a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who hasn't had or isn't in the middle of or who won't ever face a battle. You know that as well as I do. And battles can vary from person to person. Some battles can be short and severe. Other battles can be long and bitter and protracted. But each battle is real and each battle is personal to you and to me. And so as we enter into a new year, be assured of this, that the enemy of our souls has already got his battle plans in place. That is absolutely 100% sure. The enemy of our souls has already got his New Year's resolutions made. And he's gunning for us. At the very top of his list, or should I say at the very top of his hit list, is his plan to destroy you and me. His plan is to destroy marriages. His plan is to destroy finances. His plan is to destroy our peace of mind. And his plan is to destroy the work of God here in Elim, Balamoni Elim, and every church within Balamoni, and every church who believes in the gospel and believes that Jesus Christ died for sinners in Northern Ireland, every church throughout the world. It's his plan to destroy the work of God here on earth. But we know who is stronger and who is mightier and who will triumph. Make absolutely no mistake about it. He's gunning for you, he's gunning for me, and he's a nasty piece of work. The devil likes to fight dirty. And he will use anything, and he will use anybody to fulfill his plan. And he will use anything, and he will use anyone to get at us. But remember this, church family, the battle belongs to the Lord. The devil will not be victorious, because Revelation 5 and verse 5 declares that the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. Because he is the one who writes the story. He is the one who writes our story. He is the one who has already written our script. The author and the finisher of our faith knows not only how it all began before the foundation of the world, but more importantly, he knows how it's all going to end. But in the meantime, we need to be wise. The Bible talks about that. Jesus talked about that, that we need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. We need to be aware of how the enemy will plan to attack us. And we need to know how to defend ourselves against those attacks. As I've already said, I believe that he will attack us in three ways. Externally, through circumstances, through situations, through events that more than often are beyond our control. That could be our health. It could be the health of our family. It could be our job. It could be a difficult boss, an awkward employee, an uncertain future. I know that some people have had issues with their work, and we've been praying into that. And that's what a church family is for, to stand together with those who are in need. It could be someone giving you a hard time for being a follower of Jesus. It could be your finances. It's harder than ever to make ends meet. And can I just say this, and I haven't passed this with the leadership team, but I know they'll be behind what I'm saying here, that if you know of someone who is genuinely struggling, then please let myself or one of the elders know, and if we can help in any way whatsoever, we will. Just want to put that out there, and it will be done with the utmost confidentiality. The battle could involve an assortment of people. It could be people that we know. These are definitely the most hurtful of all when it's people that we know. Jesus himself wasn't immune to that. He talks in scripture, doesn't he? And the Psalms, again, forecasted that it was his own brother. It was the ones who he had fellowship with, who turned against him, Judas and the disciples who all let him down. Relationships, as we know, aren't always easy to maintain. It even could be people that we don't know. Sometimes people, I think they call them trolls, can post inflammatory or hurtful or insincere messages or comments about us. And of course, it's always anonymously, isn't it? They're never strong enough or big enough to put their name to it. I had this done to myself many years ago when somebody wrote a really horrible letter to me, accusing me of certain things. The second attack, I believe, can be internally. The second line of attack that the enemy is going to hammer us with, and that's through our mind and our emotions. The enemy can use fear, anxiety, stress to upset us and to destroy us. We call it the battlefield of our minds. Depression is a big thing. Mental illness is a big thing. It's good that we talk about it. It's good that it's out there. Years ago, you suffered in silence, and men in particular are really, really bad at talking about their struggles. I think women find it that little bit easier. I think I saw a thing, I don't know who put it up on social media, and I think it was to do with perhaps a farm labourer, somebody who owned a farm, which can often be difficult because people work in isolation and the pressures there of long hours and perhaps even, you know, the finances there. And it was just showing that, you know, people ask, how are you? And you give the standard answer, I'm fine. But you're not fine. The mask is there and we all put it up. And this little short reel or this little short video just said that one day somebody asked this gentleman, how are you? And he said, I'm fine. But then he asked again, how really are you? He says, I'm not fine. He talked about it. And even though the situation was no different, even though the burden was just as heavy, the fact that somebody had asked him the second time, and they talked about it, it just made it that little bit easier. And so the enemy attacks us through fear, anxiety, stress, depression. It's the battlefield of our mind. It's a minefield. The enemy hits us by attacking our hearts through doubts, through discouragement. I'm sure there's not a man or a woman here this morning or listening online who has at some stage not been discouraged by something or by somebody. This is an ever-increasing tactic by our spiritual opponent, because mind games are his speciality. And the third point, I've already referred a little bit to this, we're going to drill into it a little bit more. The last point is that it could be a fraternal battle. It could be through our brothers and our sisters in Christ. I know you find it hard to believe, but one of the best weapons that the devil uses to attack us is through other Christians. I'm sure you've heard the wee rhyme, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory, but to live with saints we know, well, that's a different story. Someone once said that Christianity is the only army that shoots its wounded. How sad, but how true that is. We can so easily be attacked by our brothers and our sisters in Christ, especially when we're feeling down, or we're feeling lonely, or we're feeling vulnerable. And this can take the form of criticism. It can take the form of gossip. It can take the form of slander, even bullying. So let's not be naive about it. Let's not try and brush it under the carpet as if it doesn't happen and as if it doesn't exist, because it does. It happens in the church, sadly. No sense pretending that it doesn't happen. And it breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart when he witnesses his church that he bled and died for, his bride whom he loves so much, his children who he cares so much for and who he adopted and brought into his family, at war with one another. Let me say this in the strongest possible way, that if you are a genuine, born-again Christian claiming to love God and to follow in the footsteps of his son, then you should never, ever attack and never hate or criticize or malign or slander or discourage another follower of Jesus. And if you do, God will judge you severely. And if you have, then repent, because forgiveness is there to be had. God will forgive you. We could call this spiritual cannibalism. Paul talks honestly and openly and frankly about this gross act. He doesn't pussyfoot about it. He never does. He never did. He doesn't pull any punches. He puts it in the strongest possible language about us devouring one another. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Everything that I'm saying to you this morning is based on Scripture. Perhaps not the easiest message to bring to you for the first Sunday in the new year, but a message I believe that God has asked me to bring to you, because listen, the battle belongs to the Lord. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. There were a lot of problems within the church in Galatia. And Paul, as I say, he steps right into it and he addresses the problem. Verse 13, chapter 5. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Spiritual cannibalism. I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul now addresses the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. He's talking to the church here. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. He's addressing the church in Galatia. The works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past. So Paul obviously had been discussing this beforehand. This wasn't something new. This was something that he felt he needed to address before. And because it's important, he's addressing it again. He says, I told you in the past that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Strong language. But truthful language. The Bible does not lie. The Bible is an open book. The Bible doesn't candy coat sin. It doesn't airbrush the bad bits out. It calls a spade a spade. But then we can't leave it there, because this is what Paul says. And this is how we do battle. This is how we defend ourselves. This is how we become pure. This is how we walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, says Paul, verse 22, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of those things are of the Spirit. They war against the flesh. And if you have all of those fruit of the Spirit, if you have all of those attributes in your life, then you will not bite and devour your fellow man, your fellow brother or sister. Those, verse 24, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this is how we defend ourselves against the onslaught of the enemy of our souls. Paul has a good remedy for taking on the enemy. That rhymes, by the way. And it's lasted the test of time, that we walk and we live in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5 says this. Paul's reinforcing it again through Scripture to another church who had another set of problems, Corinth, which was a very, very sinful city. And Paul says this. If you're making notes, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, which we do because we have a fleshly body, our tent is made of flesh, we do not war. Okay, so we're talking about battle here. We're talking about the fight. Okay, we're talking about fighting. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, Dave, for putting that up, or Robert. And so, let's recap. Let's look at what Paul says here. Our weapons, number one, are mighty in God. Our weapons are mighty. They're strong. They are victorious. They're not weak. They are mighty in God. They aren't carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. They're not physical weapons, the great apostle says. And what are they used for? They're used to pull down strongholds, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. To me, when I read that, that speaks of Lucifer himself. He exalted himself. He wanted to make himself equal to God. It was pride, where he was not satisfied with that, and he was a high-ranking angel. He wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted more. Isn't that what the world says, and maybe doesn't know it says it, but isn't that what the world says and does? I want more. I want more. And so we use the weapons that God has given us that are mighty in him. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. They're not physical. They are spiritual weapons. And we pull down strongholds. We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. That's envy, slander, criticism, and anything else that discourages a fellow believer by bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity. What does that mean? It means that you lock it out of your mind. You lock it out of your mind by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. You bring all of those thoughts, those negative thoughts, those fleshly, worldly thoughts, into subjection by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit. And lastly, it says, and you bring them into the obedience of Christ. You bring your thinking and you bring your actions into the obedience of Christ. We put the flesh to death. Now, I know it's easier said than done, but we put the flesh to death. And what is the flesh? The flesh is what we want to do. Simple. The flesh is what we want to do. It's our selfish nature, our sinful nature. And we live by the power of the Spirit. That's what God wants us to do. That's the Spirit living pure, godly lives for his glory. And as I draw this to a close this morning, let me just remind you, let me just bring this up once more on the screen. Hopefully you can read that okay this morning. That is just a little extract of that song that Lauren and Diagla sung for us this morning. I hear the whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper, you have nothing left. Now, maybe somebody has come into church this morning, or maybe somebody is listening on a podcast or on Zoom this morning, and that's your whisper. And you've whispered it because nobody else has heard it. Nobody else knows that that's what you're thinking, that you have nothing left. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you. I will never stop marching to reach you. In the middle of the hardest fight, it's true, I will rescue you. God says the battle belongs to the Lord. He is the victor. He is our champion, and our champion is alive. I think we maybe sing that as well. He is the champion of our souls, and he will fight for you, and he will fight for me. Always, 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 he will fight for us. He will fight all of our battles. That doesn't mean that we don't have to help him as well. We do need to stay calm, as God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, be because we realize that God is in control. And so he will fight in 2024, whether that's this afternoon or tomorrow or next week or next month or whenever it might be, he will fight our battles for us. Every single day that we draw breath, every single day that we get up and we draw our curtains and we enter into a new day, he will fight for us. Let me just go back here to our church motto, if I can. There's it there. Our church motto. The battle is the Lord's. Will you take that to your heart this morning? Will you take God's word given, hopefully, graciously and humbly this morning? Not an easy word to bring, but God's word is truth. And God's word confronts us, and God's word, if we allow it, will bring us liberty and freedom. And if we can shake off those things that we need to shake off, and if we can live by the Spirit, oh, what God will do in us and through us will be amazing. God bless. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.